bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today we'll be talking about work and how to develop a strong work ethic. And in the WINGS program, my friends, work is very important, but it's not the end all, but it is part of building a good life. Financially, the stronger you are, the more you can do for your family, for your children, for the community. And this is important. For men and women who are incarcerated, a home plan should always include a good job, education. And we're going to be talking about that heavily today because to succeed in reentry, it's really imperative that we have money coming in, and we're probably going to be on probation or parole or house arrest. And it's important that we have a plan of action that sends us to work each and every day. And I just tell you that when we, you know, are preparing a plan of action, this is an action plan for the future. It's a plan that should inspire you, should be realistic, filled with short-term and long-term goals. And it's important that we acknowledge the fact that we're going to go to work 40 to 55 hours a week because we need the money. Working part-time, you know, is not enough. We need enough money to sustain ourselves and then some. It's important also to have a goal. What are we going to do with the money? Where are we going to keep the money? So having a bank account or some kind of an account where we can actually save money for things like a home, a car, and the needs of our children is very important. So we want to, you know, set ourselves up properly. And the minute we get that first paycheck, we want to open up a bank account and start depositing checks on a weekly basis through direct deposit. And it's important that we do this so that we are disciplined. We're developing a habit pattern not only to save money, but to, you know, allocate money properly and not just let it drift out of our hands and all of a sudden we're broke by the end of the week. And it's important. And as we look at work once again, which is number 4 on the list of priorities, if you remember, our list of priorities in the WINGS program is God first, then you, then family, and then work, then community service, and hobbies and sports. So work is the 4th item on the list, and we want to, once again, you know, be focused on getting a good job, creating a resume, and being, you know, prepared to go on that job interview. So we're going to be focusing a little bit on the interview that you're going to be going on as you go out for different jobs. And there are, you know, tradesman jobs like plumbing, electrical, HVAC, roofing, landscaping. And then there are the white-collar jobs, which are in the offices. And so we want to look at what your talents are, what your skills are, what your education is, and your contact information, and plug all of that onto a resume so that when we go into a job interview, we have that resume available once again. And again, contact information, our name, address, phone number, and a phone number should be, you know, clean with a voicemail that's you and not someone else. There shouldn't be any music on that voicemail. It should be very professional. And also, you should be, you know, giving a number that is reliable. And it should be your number. So we want to, you know, make it, you know, clear that accountability is important for you. And it really begins as you prepare that resume. You want to realize that if we get a call, you know, the person on the other line should be offering us a job interview. And as we go on the interview, we want to be dressed appropriately, dressed for the part, depending on where you're going to work. And so I want you to think about what it is you want to do, and preparing for that job interview is important. Years ago in the airlines, we had a three-day interview. And we would interview 100 people a month, and we would bring them in, you know, and then basically we'd carry out 25 resumes into a three-day interview. And the first day was really important, and included a 45-minute briefing and then a written exam, an interview with two flight instructors and the candidate. And then we would go into the afternoon and then move into a one-on-two interview. If they did well, we would send them into the second day. And actually about 12 out of 25 would continue to day two. On day three, 8 would be hired. And day two was filled with several interviews, one-on-two once again. And in an airline interview where you're training to be a pilot for an airline, you know, health becomes very, very important. So we would look at the health of the person on paper with a first, second, or third class medical. And for the captains, they always needed a first class. But I just tell you that because, you know, people are looking for healthy individuals, not liabilities. People who are healthy, who can actually carry out the work that they're being hired to do. And so when you go on a job interview, people will ask you some tough questions. Now, one of the things we want to, you know, just put out on the table is that most applications will always say, have you been arrested? And we encourage everybody to be honest. And the minute, you know, you do that, of course, you're going to be asked the question, you know, what were you arrested for? You know, was it a misdemeanor or a felony? Once again, we want you to be honest and tell the story. You know, this was something that happened to me years ago. I made a mistake. I learned from my mistake. I gained a lot of wisdom. And it's been, you know, so many years since that event. And I've been, you know, clean and sober, or I've been off probation. I've been off of parole. And basically, I learned my lesson, and now I'm educated, I'm motivated, and I'm inspired to do a great job working on the books. And so I learned my lesson, and you want to tell the story in a friendly way, in an approachable way, but you don't want to lie about it, because very often people will cover up some things, and usually there's a one-year probation. And when you're on probation for a year, you know, if you're caught in a lie, you can be fired. So we don't want to waste time and beat around the bush. We want to be absolutely honest with what, you know, has happened in the past. And everybody makes mistakes. No one's perfect. But you want to make sure you have told the story clearly, and that you've learned from the mistake. You've gained wisdom. You've moved forward. And here's what I've done since I came home. And show them the good things that you have, you know, achieved in education, in work, saving money, buying a car, buying a home, community service. Whatever good things you've done, you want to point those out on your resume and also in person during the job interview. But the number one thing we don't want to do is lie about where we've been. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And that is the slogan in the WINGS program. So we want to be careful about, you know, what we say, how we answer questions, and be totally honest. And one of the things people are looking for are trustworthy individuals. And so they may ask you, you know, questions about honesty, sincerity, respect, accountability. You know, give me an example of your accountability on your previous job. If I called your ex-employer, what would they say about you? Tell me, how would they describe you if I called them up on the phone right now? And this is where you want to think about that question. All right. Who are you? And what would your employer say about you? Okay. Now, let's just say that you're working. You get this job and you're working now for 1 year. And you find a better job, but you haven't made the decision to leave yet. Before you leave, on any job, we make sure that we get a letter of reference from the employer that we're working for. It doesn't matter what job we're doing or what employer it is, we want to establish a portfolio of letters of reference to build our credibility. And this is important. And as we make the transition to another employer, you know, they may ask you the same question. If I called your ex-employer, what would they say about you? So you want to be in a good standing with your present employer. And you want to make sure that, you know, your credibility is excellent. So when we leave an employer, we want to give them a minimum of 2 weeks' notice, 2 to 4 weeks, so we don't stand them up and just leave them hanging with no one to replace us. So we want to give them plenty of time, and we want to, you know, do the right things in word and action. So this is a, a very important thing when you're leaving an employer to make sure you give them adequate notice. One of the questions you might be asked on an interview is about leadership. You know, tell me, what are the qualities of a good leader? And I pose the question to you guys out there. You think in your mind, what is leadership? What is the quality of a good leader? Tell me. Give me one or two qualities. And, you know, it's okay to pause and to think about the answers. You know, take a few seconds, you know, 5 to 10 seconds. It's not okay to sit there for a minute and say nothing. It's too long. But we don't want to just jump at answering the question. We want to give it some thought and respond in a professional way. And leadership is important. One of the qualities of a good leader is being a good listener. And a good listener, you know, basically takes in information before he makes a decision. He listens to the opinions of other people. And then he assesses it and see what's right, what's wrong, and then tries to utilize all the information to make the best decision for the group, if you can. I know in working in aviation, the captain, who is the leader of the crew, will do a captain's crew briefing. And he will brief the co-pilot in the cockpit, but he will brief the flight attendants and the co-pilot together. And during the flight, he will take in information, both on the ground and in flight, from all crew members. And he will, you know, decide what to do, based on the opinions, based on factual information that they are bringing to him, both the normal procedures, like boarding an airplane, and in emergency procedures, like in an emergency evacuation. When a crew member comes to you with some good information, like we have an engine fire on the left engine, that's good information, and you want to confirm it and then proceed with an emergency procedure. So other people in all industries can bring you good information so that you're more educated and you're making wiser decisions, smarter decisions for the safety of other people, for the comfort of other people, and for many reasons. But we want to realize that on a job interview, you and I will be asked many questions. One of the things they may ask you is, what do you like to do when you're not working? So getting involved in community service and giving back to the community is a positive thing. and we don't want to lie about it or mislead people. We actually want to be involved in it. That's why in the Wings program, we give our men opportunities to come here on Holy Spirit Radio to give testimony about where they've been, where they're at, where they're going, the wisdom they've gained after incarceration or after, recovery from alcohol or substance abuse. I remember some of the people who have been here on our radio station and who have given testimony. One of the guys who stands out was Jacoby McFadden, who had served about 58 months and many prisons and had many sentences. And he used to move drugs and weapons on Amtrak and Greyhound in a backpack. And, you know, Jacoby shared that story on the radio several times, and he'd been to about five schools with us, helping to, teach the kids what not to do when they're not in school and to avoid incarceration and serving time. And he did a fabulous job. And he, used to work selling drugs and weapons until he got caught. And so his story is a good one because work is important, but we want to be focused on work on the books, not selling drugs, not burglarizing homes, and not stealing, and not doing other things that may have been part of our past in the first part of our life. But today, after the Wings program, we want to make changes and line up with what God says to do and not to do. And God says, do not steal. And this is important because in the area of work, we see, a lot of men who are in prison for theft, petty theft and grand larceny, stealing cars, burglarizing homes. I remember a gentleman who was in the program who I went to court for, and he had served several years and then graduated from the Wings program. And we went to court, and we thought he had a possibility of coming home. And so during the presentation in court, I had the opportunity to spend about 20 minutes in the witness stand teaching the court about the Wings program and this man's performance in the Wings program at the House of Corrections in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And this gentleman, had done very well. He was a spiritual guy, and he had his heart in the right place. And I thought I knew everything about him. And so when I finished my presentation, the judge said, "This is a great program, Mr. Montone. I'd like to hear more about it afterwards, if you wouldn't mind." I said, "Absolutely, Your Honor. I'll make sure you have all the information." And then the prosecutor came up after I left the witness stand, and he said, "Your Honor, this is a great program, the Wings program." He said, "But this individual has a past. He has 20 burglaries in the last 30 years. And every time he comes home, he does another burglary and goes back inside." And so he went back to 1988. And he went through every case that he had. And do you know, because of his choice of work, burglaries, burglarizing people's homes, he had been eligible for a second strike. And that's what the prosecutor said. Because he had done so many burglaries after so many years, he was eligible for a second strike, which means it was automatic. His sentence was 10 to 20 years, and that's what the judge gave him. And he had to serve more time because of his choice of work, going back to the same thing again and again and again, taking advantage of people in their homes. And, for that reason, he's still incarcerated, still serving time. And as a result, we're not getting any younger. So that's why today in our show, we're focusing on coming home and going to work, doing the right things, paying your taxes. And there are some benefits to going to work on the books. Number one, you're building your credibility with the banks. And what that means is basically you're able to save money, you're paying your taxes, but you have pay stubs. You're getting a paycheck each and every week or every 2 weeks. It's directly deposited into a checking account, a bank account, and you're building that credibility. You're building stability and credibility with the banks. And also, you may want to go to that bank for a car loan or a home loan to get space and privacy, which is one of the goals in the Wings program, to have your own car or your own home. So the bank account that you open is the bank we're already thinking about going to for a home loan or a car loan when you have enough money for a deposit on that home. And this is important. So when you work on the books, you build that credibility with the banks. You can go to them for a business loan if you want to start a business, a home loan, a car loan, and a school loan. But if they don't know you, and if you're not working on the books, you have no pay stubs, there's no way the bank is going to give you that loan. You've got to have some credibility, at least 1 to 2 years of credibility on the job before you get that home loan. So we're preparing each and every wingman when he comes home to buy their own home by going to work 40 to 55 hours a week, opening up a bank account, saving money, establishing credibility with the bank to get a home loan, a car loan, possibly a business loan. And beyond that, if I'm working on the books, paying taxes, paying into Social Security, if I get sick and am unable to go to work anymore, I can collect Social Security disability, which is a beautiful thing if you've had a stroke, a heart attack, you have some illness and can't work, or the loss of a limb, whatever it is, that's why it's there. If I die tomorrow, then my wife will get my Social Security disability, or my children. Okay, so this is, you know, very important because these are all the benefits for working on the books, paying taxes, paying into Social Security. If you're not doing any of that, then your wife or children, your family will never benefit from you. And you will never get the credibility with the banks to get a home loan, a school loan, a business loan, a car loan. Think about it. So these are some of the benefits of working on the books and paying taxes, paying into Social Security. Many years ago at the Karan Framholt Correctional Facility in doing a seminar, one of the guys who was about 42 said to me, he says, you know, Mr. Montone, I got a letter from the Social Security Administration. They said, when I retire at age 67, I'm going to get a check for $100 a month. And I thought to myself, what could I do with $100 a month? And for that reason, he says, I guess I better start working on the books and paying taxes and paying into Social Security. I said, absolutely. And he told me he was 42 years old. And he had missed many years because he was working illegal activity, working off the books, paying no taxes. And he was in that, you know, not to do zone and had served time multiple times. So, you know, it's important that when we come home, for our listening audience, if you're incarcerated, you're in a recovery home and you're listening to our program, I want you to think about your home plan to make sure that it includes good work. How many hours a week? 40 to 55 hours a week. We don't want to work 80 hours a week and be a workaholic. We want to have balance between our home life and work, between family and work, between family and community service, between family and hobbies and sports. So we do want to work a little bit more, and in the WINGS program, the zone is 40 to 55 hours a week. And normally, you know, people work 40 hours a week, but when you're working the extra 15, that can be time and a half. And so you're increasing your salary. For some people, it could be double time on a Sunday or working the night shift. So there are ways to improve your income without going back to illegal activity, burglarizing homes, petty theft, grand larceny, burglarizing, you know, vehicles. There's a lot of positive things that can be done to make more income. And so once again, you know, as we enter into the right way of doing things in accordance with what God says to do and not to do, don't forget this. Moses tells us in the book of Deuteronomy to be careful, to do exactly as the Lord your God has told you to do, so you can live and prosper. He said the blessings of obedience are available for all of us. If we're obedient to God, he will bless us in many areas, to include the work. The blessings of obedience, my friends, are these. God will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, your children. He will bless you in your grain and wine and oil, the issue of your herds. This is your work. He will bless you in your health and give malignant diseases to your enemies. He will bless you in your homeland, the home that he promised to give to you. These are all part of the blessings of being obedient to God. So we want to go from being disobedient to obedient. We want to go from being greedy to being generous, from dishonest to honest. We want to go from areas, you know, of weakness to our greatest strength. And God will help us to do it. But it takes time. It is a journey. And we all need to start at the same point, which is a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no time like today to start right now to put God first and to allow him to open the doors that no man can close, and to close doors that no man can open. I challenge you today, my friends, to do the very best in the development of your home plan, your action plan for the future, and to put a great, you know, plan together for your work and your family life. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day. God bless. And we'll see you next time here at Finding God in Prison at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.